Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6. As I prayed and asked the Lord to give me a direction for this morning's message, I believe this is where He clearly guided me. And I hope it's going to be a message to encourage. I hope it's going to be a message to help us end well in 2024 and to reflect back upon the Christian growth that we have seen in our lives. Although we all are still falling short where we need to be, but we're not giving up. These spiritual disciplines that I'll be referring to is something I hope that you'll consider growing in the year 2025. And one of the areas that we're going to look at here, it's going to be four major areas that I'll be speaking on dealing with spiritual disciplines. But the passage I'm having you turn to, and you may think it's a little strange going to the book of Jeremiah when it comes to spiritual disciplines, but I want to guide your attention over to chapter 6 and beginning in verse number 14. I'll begin reading actually in verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Talking about false teachers. Christian talked about that in Sunday school. It's amazing how God always lines that up many times. It's just beautiful. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They had big problems in Jerusalem, friend. They were turning away from God. Even the preachers, of all people, the preachers were living false lives. They were false teachers. God help us. And then verse 14, it says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, no. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And verse 16 will be my text. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. My message is taken from the specific text there in verse 16 where it says, ask for the old paths. And that's the title of this morning's message. Ask for the old paths. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for church this morning. What a sweet spirit. I appreciate your people here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this place with your presence. Take away distractions. Lord, help us to hear from you. I pray we would be encouraged by the word. I pray that we would be attentive to your voice. And God, help me not to say too much or too little. Help me just to say exactly what you'd have me say. I pray that you'd help folks perhaps that are feeling distracted this morning. I know how they feel. Been there many, many a times. I pray you'd help them, Lord, to have a focus this morning upon you. And what you have for them. And every one of us, give us a tenderness and a receptivity to the will of God. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, I do ask it. Amen. Ask for the old paths was the exhortation or the command given by God to the children of Israel. Now, let me give you a little bit of context here. There's getting ready to be a huge mess in Jerusalem. A huge mess. I mean, bad. They are getting ready to be destroyed.
Jeremiah is a preacher. He's a prophet. He's announced to these guys, hey, all these preachers, so-called preachers, these prophets and their priests, they're all false. They're doing their own thing. And he's saying, look, there's judgment coming. And we know that judgment is going to come from Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so Jeremiah is warning the people, and he goes through a list of things that were going on, and he's just announcing this destruction that's coming. But, you know, you'll notice throughout all the Word of God, in the midst of judgment, you will always find mercy. God announcing a truth of mercy, a message of mercy, I should say, for people to be able to respond and recalibrate and repent and readjust. And, you know, we all need to do that, don't we? Amen. I think of a coming of the end of the year. We're all thinking of New Year's resolutions and things that, well, we'd like to do better. I hope you're thinking about that. Hope you're not against New Year's resolutions, you know, I hope not. I've heard people being critical of those. But I think it's a good idea to evaluate how the year has gone and look at the new year and say, hey, I really believe I need to do a better job here. I'm going to set some goals to go for with God's help. And as we do that, I'm thinking about this message that God gave the children of Israel when they came to a crossroads. If you look at the text there, and verse number 16, when he says, stand ye in the ways, that ways, that word there is the idea of a crossroad. They're coming to a decision point in their life where they have to choose to obey or disobey. And he says, see and ask for the old paths. And he says, it's the good way to walk therein. And he says, you're going to find rest for your souls. If you walk in that path, it's almost a picture of this, young people. You imagine yourself going on a walk with your parents or going on a hike with your parents, and you get out in the woods and you get lost. Well, you think you're lost, but you're walking along and you come to a crossroads and there's two paths that you could take. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my, I hope Dad makes the right decision right here. Whoever's making the decision. And that person said, look, you want to take this worn out path here. It's the right path. It's the old path. It's the ancient path. It's the one that's been tested. It's been tested. It's good. You'll find that is the good path. You'll find rest there. This is the one to take. And that would be the path that we would want to take. I like hiking on the Appalachian Trail. There are many trails, especially in northeast Georgia. Boy, there are trails everywhere to go hiking. I like the AT, and you don't have to really guess. Now, there are some guys that get adventurous and they get off the trail. I don't recommend that. You're asking for trouble. But if you stay on the path, it's well worn. Just because that's what how many thousand of them do it each year, and then plus the ones that do section hikes. That's well worn out path. That's because that's the path that has been laid out. It's the right one. And God is trying to tell the children of Israel here, there is a right path. Ask for the old paths. That which is going to help us. Well, you read the verse with me, didn't you? There in verse 16, it says that they would not walk that way. What was going on? Well, if you notice in verse 10, what was one of the problem was, is notice verse 10, it says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. What do we see here? We see a people that did not like the word of God. They didn't delight in it. And I tell you, one of the greatest things we can do as God's people is to delight in the Word of God. But they didn't. I'm thankful you're here. You're a testimony this morning. At least I hope you are. I look across this room and I think, wow, praise the Lord. I see people here that have an interest in God's Word. You at least have an interest to hear it. I hope you do. I hope you're here not to impress me or to impress somebody else. I hope you're not here just to come and get a Reese cup. But I'm telling you, I hope you're here for the right reason, to hear from God, to hear from His Word. But they didn't want to do that. They were committing very just awful acts of sin. They were covetous. They were dealing falsely. Here's the thing that we read it. They were without shame. Man, that's a message right there. Hey, young people, listen to Pastor here for a second. When something happens in your life and you know it's wrong and your face turns red, that's a good thing. We should blush when we see something bad or do something bad. There should be a feeling bad for that. I'm sorry. That was wrong for me to look at that. That was wrong for me to say that or to do that. There's a blushing because there's a conviction there. When we lose the blush, we're in a bad place, folks. Some of those things that pop up on your television, you can't get to it fast enough to turn the channel or to turn it off and mute it because it just makes us blush. It's like, whew. And there's things in our life and we don't want to lose the blush. That's not the name of the message, but let's make sure that we stay sensitive. But they lost it. They totally lost it. Didn't no sin bother them. We'll watch what we want to watch. We'll listen to what we want to listen to. We'll say what we want to say. I don't want to hear anything that thing about God. I'm doing my thing. That was their heart. But God, even in the midst of that, said, ask for the old paths. Let's go with the old paths. God pleads with them. God is advising to be like that wise traveler that asks for the right directions. What is the safest and best route? God will always lead us in the right one. And this morning, with the remaining time, I want us to realize that we got to get back to the fundamentals, the old paths. That which has worked from the beginning of time, even since the garden, all the way to 2025, what is it that worked for them? What is it that worked for the Old Testament saints? What is it that's worked for the New Testament saints? What is it that's worked for every born-again child of God? I want to give you four elements, if you will. Four essentials, if you will, that are necessary for the victorious Christian life to go on the old paths. I believe everything else under the Christian life falls under these four. But I will say, as I get going to communicate them to you here in a moment, I want us to consider them and to take inventory of our own hearts. Four habits that are essential for the Christian growth. Now, let me just say this real quick. Before we enter into the points, at the center of each of these habits, and I'm going to show you a will at the end. I think, do we have that? Okay, we have that ready. I'm going to show you a will illustration. Christ is going to be in the center. And you've probably heard this will illustration. It's not original with me, but it's got four spokes. And those are my four points. But at the center of that will is Christ. He has to be in the center of everything we do. He's our motivation. He's the one, as we sang together, all glory be to Christ our Lord. Hey, that should be the message from our heart for everything we do. Everything. And I mean even recreation. Some people like to separate what they do outside of church. I believe we ought to go hunting for the glory of God. I believe we can go fishing for the glory of God. I believe we can watch football and glorify God. You say, really? Yes. Don't cuss your team out, okay? Keep a good, clean mind. Have a good attitude. That glorifies God. These people that lose their temper and say things they shouldn't, well, that's not really glorifying the Lord. But you can do those things, and we can do those things, and we can do it, and we should do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. I come to church for the glory of God. I pastor for the glory of God. I want to have a family for the glory of God. I want to do everything I can for the glory of God. He is at the center of it. That's why Romans 11:36 says, for Him, you ought to write that verse down. Romans 11:36, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:36. That'd be a great verse for you to memorize for the new year. That one right there. 11:36. It's short. It's powerful. It wraps up your whole Christian life. For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. You see, One brother said it this way. All Christians, Christ is present. In some Christians, He is prominent. And in few Christians, He is preeminent. You see, we want to be those few where Christ is preeminent. He's all. He's my all in all. He is why I do what I do. And so let's dive into these fundamental spiritual habits that must be practiced by God's people. You think we got coaches in here. We got people that like football. You know, sometimes after right at the halftime, they usually try to run over there. ESPN gets with the head coach and they say, so how does it feel to be down 21 points? Well, you know, what are you supposed to say to that? It feels great. But no, they ask these questions and what do you want to do? And they ask these questions. And a lot of times the coach will say, I've heard it many, many times. You have too. We just got to get back to the fundamentals. We got to tackle. We got to win the line of scrimmage. We got to catch balls. Fundamentals. Let's just get back to the fundamentals. What we know what to do. Well, listen, it's no different for the Christian life. A lot of the things we're dealing with, even every day, is we just got to get back to the fundamentals. And those are what I want to speak to. The four essential habits in our life. I'm afraid there's a dearth of spiritual habits being practiced by God's people. As we look at the world today, let's realize this, friend. Let's realize this. The problem is not the world. Our real problem is not a pervading darkness, but it's a failing light. Light dispels darkness. And when we are walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. We realize that God, we got to be people who are walking in the light, and this is how we're going to walk in the light. Number one, if you're taking notes, it's reading God's Word. The old paths. That's always been God's will. From the Old Testament saint to the New Testament saint, it's to be in the Word of God. In fact, the Jewish people, oh my. You ever read about how much these Jews that were for real and sold out to God, they had their children memorizing Scripture at a very young age. They had the Word of God all around the house. They were reading the Word of God. They instructed dads, read the Word of God everywhere you go. Let God's Word be a big part of your life. That's a fundamental of the Christian faith. But a lot of times there's a dearth there. God's people are not making time for God's Word. By the way, neglecting Scripture is not a lack of time, it's a lack of heart. We all have time to get into the Word of God. And I pray that 2025 will be one of the best years we've experienced of being in God's Word. It's coming up on us. You say, boy, I didn't do a very good job this past year. Or maybe you even say, boy, I did better than I did the year before. Praise the Lord. Be encouraged. But never stop growing. Never stop studying the precious Word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How many of you here get grumpy when you get hungry? Now, y'all are, how many of you just need to repent right now because you didn't raise your hand? I know good well we get cranky when we get hungry. You know, now listen, we don't need to do marriage counseling right now. But anyway, yes, of course we do. We get out of sorts easily because we're not getting the nourishment physically that we would like. Well, listen, I want to tell you, it's even worse when it comes to neglecting God's Word. You show me the person that's not, you show me the Christian that's not reading God's Word as a daily habit, I will show you a Christian who's not walking in fellowship with the Lord. And if he's not she is not walking in fellowship with the Lord, I will assure you they are not walking in fellowship with fellow man. It all goes together. Why don't we hit the reset button and say, dear God, I want to be in the Word. I want to not find time, Lord, I want to make time. Job says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It'd be good for many of us to have the motto, the mantra, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. I don't eat the food that I need until I'm in the Word. We value the Word of God. Psalm 19:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Read God's Word personally in your devotional time. Have that appointment with the Lord personally. Are you doing that right now? I beg you, church, let's get into the Word. Let's make sure we're opening up our Bibles in our homes, whether it be in our bedroom, whether it be in our living room, whether it be in the break room at work. I don't know. I don't know where your place is going to be. Holy Spirit will lead you in that. But let's get back in the Bible. Let's read. You say, that's basic. That's fundamental. You're right. It is. And when it's missing, it's going to cause major problems. But not only personally, but please, can you open the Bible in your home? As your pastor, I can't emphasize enough the importance of family devotions. Especially you dads, but even you single moms here, leading your home as a single mother, I encourage you, open up the Bible with your children. If they're younger children, adapt. Use a children's Bible reading book with Bible stories. Begin that habit. Sit down together. Read God's Word together. It's important. Your children are not picking up everything, but they're picking up something. If they didn't get anything, let me tell you what they will get. They may not get anything from that passage, but I tell you what they will get. Mom and Dad prioritize the Bible. That'll stick with them. Mom and Dad are going to break out the Bible. We're going to read it. We may not be extremely consistent. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about simply growing and making it an emphasis. Husbands, take the lead. Moms, be supportive. Be an encouragement. I'm thankful there are times when I've got my mind engaged on something else and life is going so fast. I'm thankful for a helpful reminder that Joanna and say, honey, are we going to read? Yes, that's right. We are going to read. Let's read a passage. Just working together, mom and dad, husband, wife, just making sure the Word of God is the focus. And we're going to do that as a church. We're going to emphasize the Word of the living God. When you're reading God's Word, there are simple things you can do. I'm going to get everybody a bookmark. I hope you'll enjoy it. Adrian Rogers wrote up some points, and I love the way he states things. But he says this, is there a promise to claim as you're reading God's Word? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a new thought to carry with me today? There's so many questions you can ask yourself. And so I'm going to get you a bookmark that has those questions that I just read to you that you can think about in whatever book you're reading. But this morning, as we think upon that spoke in the will, God's Word, let's make it a priority. Let's feed on it daily. That's where you're going to hear from the Lord. That's His message to you and me. He's going to speak to your heart through His Word. We're going to be changed and transformed by the Word of God. Secondly, the second essential is spending time in prayer. So we're going to read God's Word daily. But then secondly, we're going to pray. Now, these are your vertical. You'll see on the spoke of the will, you have the Word of God on the top part of the will. And then right below, of course, Christ is in the center. The top spoke is the Word of God. And the bottom spoke right underneath it, vertical, is our relationship with the Lord. God's Word, praying, talking to God. That's going to be the center one. That's the next one. Where are we in our prayer lives? Spending time in prayer. How many of you think it would be weird? How many of you think it'd be weird if you didn't talk to your best friend? be weird. You're going to talk to your best friend. And you're not just going to talk to him. You're going to love talking to him. I've been waiting to talk to you all day. You know what? God should be our best friend. He is our best friend. He's the best friend you could ever dream of. And He is the one we talk to. And we do that through prayer. You can remember this quickly. I don't want to throw too much on you this morning, but it helped me remember. Little AID there. It's an acronym. But it's a CPR. Prayer is made up of confession, praise, and request. CPR. Confession. We all need to confess every day, throughout the day. We all need to be praising the Lord, adoring Him, thanking Him. And we certainly need to be asking, because we need the Lord. Amen. We need His help. We need His divine intervention. We need to intercede for others that are in trouble, that are hurting physically, spiritually, people that are lost. We need to be praying for them. There's the ministry of prayer. There's personal prayer. Going back to the personal and the public, do you have a personal prayer time? This message is not to make you feel bad. This message is to help you get into a good gear going into 2025. I pray that you'll make your time that you're going to spend praying to the Lord. Do it a place without distraction. I do not recommend, I'm not being a Pharisee here, you take it with you if you want to. That's between you and the Lord. But I do not recommend you having your phone when you have your quiet time with the Lord. You say, but preacher, my Bible's on my phone. Well, unless you turn all these settings off, and even it's a temptation, even if you do that, you're tempted to check an inbox or messages or maybe an app or something pops up. It's like, ugh, you get distracted. Maybe set that thing aside if all possible and just have your Bible and maybe a commentary or something, whatever you're doing there for your devotions, and just let the Lord have your heart in that. There needs to be that time, that private time. Jesus said basically it's behind closed doors. I don't think He means that literally. I think He just means that in the sense of being private. And He says when you meet with the Lord privately, the Bible says God rewards you publicly. It means you're going to have the power of God on your life when you're meeting with the Lord. And I'm afraid there's a lot of anemic believers in our churches today because they're not even praying. They're not seeking the Lord. And there's no spiritual stamina and spiritual power on their life. And they wonder, what's wrong with me? Well, how's your prayer time? But not only is there the private prayer time, but then there's the public prayer time. That's the corporate prayer. In Acts 4:31, it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I love that verse. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hey, what about those old paths? The Old Testament saints sought God through His word and through prayer. That's not changed. It's not going to change. If this church is going to succeed spiritually, we're going to do it through the ministry of the Word and the ministry of prayer. That's how God's going to do it. It's not going to be through programs, and I'm not against programs. It's not going to be through this and that. No, it's going to be through the old paths. It's going to be God's people getting into God's Word. It's going to be God's people seeking the face of God. And I just pray that we'll do that. I pray we will. It's essential. The daily habit of praying to God is essential for Christian growth. I share this from my heart. One of my prayers, and I'll mention this most likely in the next week or two. But one of my prayers for our church is to see our Wednesday night prayer meeting grow. I don't want it to die. Because this church will die when the church stops praying together. And I don't want to see this Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to be vulnerable. If there's something I can do different to help it be more engaging for the prayer time, I want to do it. If you got some ideas for me, I'm up for it. But whatever it does to get our hearts together in prayer, I'm for it. I'm for it. And I pray that we'll make Wednesday night a priority That's my church's prayer meet. That's where we're having master clubs, our teaching our kids to pray and walk with God. That's where we're having our teen program. Our teens are learning to walk with God. We are seeking in that midweek service to pray and seek the Lord because we need Him. I appreciate your faithfulness. I really do. But we have our prayer life. You understand, it's vitally important. But then thirdly, and I'm moving quickly here, thirdly is fellowship. Now, I love fellowship, but I'm just not talking about fellowship around fried chicken, folks. I love fried chicken. I probably could eat it every day, honestly. I shouldn't. I know my doctor wouldn't be happy about that. By the way, this is totally off point here, but speaking of fried chicken, I'm going to try to eat less of that in 2025. I'm going to ask y'all to say this because I want you to pray for me. I have a goal in 2025 to lose 25. I don't say that to brag. I say that with fear and trembling because I just made that public and now y'all going to start buying me rice cakes. I seriously need to lose weight. It's for my health, but that is it's a goal. But nevertheless, we know it is through God's Word. It is through God's people praying, finding that secret place. Many of you are mature in that area. Don't stop maturing. There's no such thing, mark this down, there's no such thing as a mature Christian. You say, what? Only maturing Christians. Because the idea of saying you're a mature Christian sometimes can give the idea of I've arrived. There's not a person in this room that's arrived. We're all growing. We're all maturing. The moment you think you're mature enough, you're immature. So may God help us to grow. And then thirdly, the third spoke is fellowship. It is fellowship. It is fellowship together in our home. Moms and dads, I hope you have that fellowship time in your home. Let's get back to the old paths of having supper together. Amen. Life's gotten so busy where somebody's having a meal here and a meal there and a meal there. And listen, I'm not being hard on you. It happens at times. I understand that. But let's make sure as families we are spending some time together. Come to church as a family. Worship as a family. Serve as a family. I thank God for what I saw on the missions trip. Families that are signed up. I love that. We fellowship as a family. Hey, husbands and wives, let's make sure we're in fellowship because we have to have the power of God on us. God says very clearly that if we do not get along with one another, the spiritual power will be absent. We have to make sure that we're forgiving one another, that we're courtesy to each other. Listen to 1 Peter 3, 8 through 11. Finally, be of you all one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. That means be sensitive to one another. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. I got some of the best advice I heard this past week with my family. My brother-in-law is a pastor, and he made a comment, and it helped me. And he said this, look, something that's helped me, that when it comes to correcting my children, he says one of the things that's very important for him, that's helped him, is not to match their emotion. I said, wow, that helps me. Because if they're being crazy, I want to be crazy. Am I the only one like that? Okay. Somebody starts elevating an emotion and gets fired up. I won't be wrong. Yep. All right, tat for tat, let's go. I'll take it to the next level. Come on. It's like you're getting in the boxing match. Come on, bring it. Challenge me. Knock you out. But we do that. How about getting back to not railing for railing, as Peter told those people. Don't be carnal like that. He says, but contrary wise, blessing, knowing that ye
are thereunto called that you shall inherit a blessing. Let's let our room, let our homes be filled with just some more patience and kindness. That's the old paths. That's what works. That's what'll change our lives. It's fellowship, but then it's the fellowship of the local church. That's where we are today. We're fellowshipping together. We're worshiping together. Keep that as a focus in your life. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank God for you. But the local church is a body. And each member, each one of you is important. You have a purpose. Body parts don't simply exist. If there's a body part in your body right now that is not functioning, what is it? Dead. Body parts that God gave us are to be functioning. And each one of you is a member of the body of Christ, of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and you are important. You are valuable. And when you are missing, and when you are hurting, the rest of us hurt. And we need to understand that and encourage one another spiritually and be there for one another. That's why we call each other. That's why we ask you. That's when we hadn't seen you in a few weeks. I know it'd be comfort to me if I hadn't been here for 3 or 4 weeks. I know I'm the pastor, but I'm saying if I was just a member of this church and somebody would say, well, Brother Brinson, we ain't seen you in about 3 weeks. How you been? We've missed you. That means something. I hope you do that. That's not a cut down. That's a blessing. Fellowship with one another. Being here, serving together. We can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We do it more and more. Just being together with fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ is essential for growth. And then this is my last point. I'm going to close with this. Not only do we have the essential of the Christ-centered life of the Word of God being a priority, prayer being a priority, the fellowship with my family and the local church is a priority, but fourthly is our witness for Christ. Your witness for Christ is in two ways. You've probably already guessed what the answer is. It's in two parts. The first one is your life. Your life is a message. Your life is a message. Every day you are sending a message with your life. Secondly, it is with your words. You don't have to close your Bible up yet. We're not done. That's my son, if y'all wondered. We're going to be a witness for Christ. Through our life and through our actions. They are inseparable. Some would say, I'm just going to let my life be my testimony. That won't work. Why? Because, yes, God says, let your light shine before men. They may see your good works. That's the foundation. But in Psalms, we say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God's people need to say something too. When you go to your place, you go to these places around where you work and your neighborhoods, you say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Because you have been delivered from the enemy. Amen. That's your witness. It's the fourth spoke. But here's the problem. The problem is when we try to be a witness with our words and our life, does it match up? And people are like, do what? What? You're telling me about loving the Lord or receiving the Lord? And no, we don't. We're not perfect. But when we come, people know that we're trying to be people that walk with God. That witness is so very important. It's testifying that which is real. Your work ethic makes a difference. Your life, your responses to hurt and hardship, your words, your action. Point people to Christ. That's what a witness is. Those people that saw James, Peter and John, and they were living for God. They said, we're going to teach in the name of Jesus. And in verse 20, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what he's saying? The old James and Peter said, look, we are witnesses of Christ. We've seen and heard what God has done, and we're just going to speak it. I pray that God would help us to do that in 2025 more than ever. I thank God for how you did with the gospel tracts. I'm telling you what, we gave out more Christmas gospel tracts this year than I think we ever have before. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for making it a priority to speak the things of God and to be a witness for the Lord. A little girl got home from Sunday school where she had been taught Matthew 5:16 on "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." She asked her mother what the verse meant. Her mom said, "Well, it means that you are good and kind and thoughtful and obedient. You are letting Christ's light shine through you to those that know you." The very next week in Sunday school, the little girl got in a bit of an argument with another student. In fact, it was a blow up. It's so bad that the teacher had to go and get the mother. Can you children imagine you being so bad in Sunday school that the teacher had to leave to get your parent? Well, the mother came and started talking to this young lady. Her mother was concerned. She said, "Sweetie, don't you remember the message from last week about letting your light shine for the Lord before men?" And before she could finish, the girl blurted out, she said, "Mom, I have blowed myself out." You know, sometimes we've done that. We've blown ourselves out, the light that we are to have. But I thank God that you can get it back instantly. We come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I have not been a good testimony for Christ. There's some things I've done and said lately that is not a reflection of you, Lord. And I want the light back." That's what we need to do. Let's show the spoke in closing. The wheel spoke, you'll see, that has the four spokes. Christ is in the center. Prayer, witnessing, fellowship, and the Word. And around the spoke there is the obedient Christian in action. Now, if any of those get off, anybody here knows that's had a car out of balance, you're going to get a lot of shaking. It's going to cause a lot of damage. Car get out of alignment, and then it just causes more and more problems. I want you to envision that as an analogy, that this is the Christian life. All four of these should be present. Everything follows under that. Christ in the center and letting these things grow and mature. We're not perfect in these things, but we're all growing, giving them attention. Some of you are really good at one of those spokes, or all of them perhaps. Some of you may be just good at two. This is what we ought to do as Christians. Let's recognize those that we're really weak at in the spokes. Let's identify them and be honest about it and say, "Lord, that spoke is messed up. It might even be missing. Lord, help me to get it back. Even today." It's the spoke will of the Christian life. Christ in the center. How about you, friend? Let's end 2024 well and strong. Let's start 2025 the same way. Would you pray with me? Thank you for your attention to this message from God's Word about the old paths. Here in a moment, I'm going to have you stand. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward and just seek the Lord in prayer. Now, I don't want anybody to think about, "Well, who's looking?" Don't worry about that. It doesn't matter at all. We're just worried about the old paths. We want to follow the Lord. Do whatever it takes to be right with Him, with the power of God on our life. What about you, friend? I could be talking to a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter. Somebody that just attends once a month. I don't know. God knows, but if you're here today and you need to make some decisions, I encourage you to do that. Also, I may be speaking to someone here today that's without Christ. You're trying to do all the spokes and you don't have Christ in the center. You're doing it all in the flesh and it's frustrating. You don't even want to do it because you're just being religious. Can I tell you, you need to get Jesus in the center by receiving Him as your Savior. If you've never done that before, you got to do that first. That's the first step. Trust in Jesus that He died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you've never done that, please, I beg you, I urge you to do that first. Those of you that have made that decision, would you renew your commitment to these areas, these essential habits of the Christian life? Let the Lord lead you. Let Him guide you. I trust that you'll join me in making decisions this morning in our walk with God. Would you stand with me as the instruments begin to play?